ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, MLS for the Lou. St. Louis is going to be announced today as a brand new expansion team in Major League Soccer. Team number, 28 now?
28, yeah.
So we got 28 teams. Only 12 more to go, probably. But Don Garber is with the Cavanaugh and the Taylor family today in St. Louis to announce this brand new expansion. St. Louis is an interesting city, Dwayne. We've talked about this one long time ago. I think it's been 4 years now that we've been talking about St. Louis. One story that people don't know is St. Louis is one of the birthplace of soccer in the United States. And after today, it will be represented in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, certainly St. Louis has always been on the wish list of Major League Soccer right from 96 on. They just never could find the right ownership group there. There was a surge in the possibility of it becoming a franchise back on the early part of this expansion wave, you know, Philly and TFC. And when those teams were coming in, there was a lot of talk that St. Louis would join them in that wave. And there was a gentleman by the name of Jeff Cooper that some people may remember out there. Jeff Cooper turned out to be kind of a snake oil salesman. Didn't have any money. He started a women's team briefly, and it folded halfway through the season.
No one paid for the monorail? Like, no one wanted the monorail? So that's the monorail?
Yeah.
Or
precisely, yeah. No, yeah. He was just trying to spend other people's money, basically, and he got found out. And St. Louis, I think MLS found that out and kind of kept it quiet, you know, out of respect to him, because you know how people, the business folk, will protect one another. But then, of course, it ended up screwing this poor women's team a few years later, where he tried to start a team with no money, and well, it went about as well as you'd think. But that's ancient history, and it did actually set St. Louis back a long time, the Jeff Cooper stuff. But they figured it out. The ownership group's there. It is, I mean, when you think of the United States and you think of the typical sporting cities of the United States, this is obviously was a glaring omission from their schedule. You know, I'm trying to think of the other teams that you might want to get in there, cities that you anticipate with professional sports in the U.S., maybe Cleveland, maybe Phoenix. Those are the other two that would sort of be similar. But this certainly was a big hole that they'd like to fit. And they really have, they kind of target regions too.
Yeah.
They felt that they had a weakness in the Midwest, so they brought Cincinnati in. And obviously this is another one as well. And that sort of allows them to have a central conference, which don't be surprised if they literally have one soon too.
Yeah, don't be surprised if once we get to 30 teams, there's 3-10 teams conferences
in or the four east, divisions
or four divisions. The east, the central, and the west is still what I think is going to happen. But let's go back to just a second. You mentioned St. Louis. You mentioned Phoenix is a market. Phoenix is right now the biggest market in population and in size of city not involved in Major League Soccer. One of the other ones that has been talked about a lot lately is Detroit. Detroit, Sacramento, and Phoenix are for me the teams that are omitted in this process so far. Nashville has already been announced, and it's the team number 27. But after today, team number 28. And of course, we'll know more later today when Don Garber and the Cavanaugh and Taylor family make their presentation, show us probably a stadium rendering. How much money you want to bet? Like the over-under of the stadium rendering. We're going to see one today. So that's going to be interesting. But after today, Dwayne, I guess Sacramento, Detroit, and Phoenix are really the three teams battling maybe for two spots left.
Yeah, well, we joke, but there are more than two spots left. They will at the very least hit the NFL norm, the NFL, NBA, NHL norm of 32. They will.
Yeah.
They will absolutely hit that. I have no doubt about that. And they never were not going to. How can you turn down that kind of money for Major League Soccer? Those owners, this is how they make their money. You know, people call it a pyramid scheme, which is not exactly true. But
it's not exactly false either. It's somewhere in the middle.
you know, you're getting your money through others investing, which is the definition of one. But, you know, sucking in marketing plays a role in that too in terms of the finances. We're going to talk a lot about MLS finances in the off season, so that's moved from there now. But yeah, they're always going to move to those places. You mentioned Sacramento in there, and that's obviously every time there's an expansion team named that isn't Sacramento, I really kind of I shed a little tear for them because they have been the bridesmaid for it seems like forever now. Like, but there's probably been 8, 9, 10 teams come into this league where we were talking with Sacramento. As, you know, look at how much crowd they're getting there, and it's actually. I always called them the Rochester Rhinos of this modern era because if you remember the Rhinos back in the day, they were always pointed to as this little tiny market that was a little bit outside the norm that might fit, it might be unique there, and they just kept getting bypassed and bypassed until finally no one was talking about them anymore because the novelty had worn off there. The stadium wasn't good enough, had been bypassed by others, and so on and so forth. Sacramento doesn't have a stadium issue. They would build a new one if they ever given this team. But they just seem to get bypassed every time, although there was some rumors out of them from the city council saying that they, I believe it was the mayor, said, I don't want to say it's 100% because nothing ever is, but it seems like it, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, yes. Who said that? And I do think they're going to give it to them, but it's like, talk about making them wait. God.
Like, okay, you really want it? We'll make sure that you wait for it, and once you get it, you're gonna really be happy, yes?
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, to use a dating analogy, Kevin, it's like there's this cute girl next door that you know likes you, or a boy, depending on your, you know, sex orientation, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever, a cute person next door that likes you. And you know that you can get them at any time, and you're going to be happy with them. You know this.
So you try other places
first.
So you go to the bar.
There's a lot of hot people in the world, and you want to check them out first before you go to your default. That's kind of what Sacramento is.
Sacramento's the rebound. Sacramento's the safe choice. Yeah, that's interesting. We'll see what happens. And for me, it'll be fascinating to see if Sacramento will be forgotten or eventually get their own team. Apologies for the neighbor who decided to cut his grass at the same time as I do radio. I tried to yell obscenities at him, but he doesn't hear anything with his lawnmower working. So we're moving on. For me, Dwayne, there's another thing to this story, and it's similar and different at the same time. Today, it's going to be MLS for St. Louis. Yesterday, an article appeared in the Miami Herald, and it's not getting the traction that I think it deserves, because it just illustrates a point here. Report on Beckham Stadium site shows soil contaminated by unsafe levels of arsenic. Wow, so hard. It's never easy for David, so hard for David to put this plan together, to put this team together from the announcement in 2013 to today in 2019. It's been quite a ride for Miami. Will we ever see Miami actually play a game or actually build a stadium? I used to think no, and now there's a logo, there's announcement, there's players signing, they're going to play next year. Do you believe in Miami, Dwayne?
You said nothing goes right for David. I mean, he is rich beyond his wildest dreams, has married a Spice Girl, and was given an MLS expansion franchise for a fraction of the cost. I think Dave's doing fine. But
one of his kids is in the Manchester City Academy, never mind Manchester United Academy, so he's doing well there, too.
We all know that, yeah. it's because the City Academy's better. No, anyway, that's maybe for the second half of the show. Tuesdays are for Europe after all, but do I believe in Miami? I don't believe in Miami, the market. No. Look at their other sports. They will always have teams because it is a sexy market. I mean, it's Miami Vice. It's the beach and sexy people and all that sort of good stuff. And you know that they're going to attract big name talent there because they're going to want to play. And like when people in Europe say, I can see myself going to MLS in a year, they don't think about Columbus. That's not what they're talking about.
It's like when you think of Europe, you think of London, you think of Manchester. No one
thinks Sheffield.
No one thinks about Sheffield.
Yeah,
so that's true.
It's
no
not
one
where you're thinking of
Columbus. It's funny how you you chose the best example in Major League Soccer off the top of your head. You could have said Houston, but be like, "Well, Houston is sunny. You know, it's hot." And no, Columbus. No one wants to go to Portland. No offense. But...
Well, Portland has a little bit of a hipster vibe to it, right? But I don't
exactly.
think it's that well known outside
exactly.
the States.
It has a hipster vibe. That's why I'm not going there. I'm just
I'd
kidding.
Fit in.
You
my,
would.
My beard would fit
in. You wouldn't fit in. You'd be like, yeah. oh, I'm home.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was watching NWSL and on the TV and a Camp BL game on my phone and drinking a craft brew on Sunday and thinking to myself, I am cliche right now.
What am I doing with my life?
What have I done? Why have I wasted this? Nonetheless, I'm wasting watching professional women's soccer and the Canadian Premier League. Wow. Okay, I was in on the ground floor. I knew it before that. I most definitely knew the Canadian Premier League before it was cool. So there you go.
No, but it is interesting for me that I don't know if it was a project that was put together hastily, but everything seems to be more difficult than anticipated with this franchise in Miami. And every single step of the way, they have obstacles that are like, oh, another one? Like from the stadium in Fort Lauderdale to the ground and to working this and refitting the old strikers and working with... So yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. And every time, there's another problem. This time is the site is contaminated by unsafe levels of arsenic. And if they want to have that site done in between 3 years... They might have to choose another site because it takes a long time, especially if it's arsenic, to decontaminate literally a stadium site deep. Like, yeah, you have foundation. So it's not an easy process. This might jeopardize where they want the stadium. This might delay by another year, if not two, the actual stadium. Miami's going to play it in a temporary situation for 3 years. What is this? New York City FC?
Yeah, well... Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. It's the Fort Lauderdale stadium they're going to play at a start, is it not? They're renovating that.
Yes, exactly. The old
yeah,
Fort Lauderdale Strikers, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's well, may they rest in peace. Nanatacora's legendary team. Look, Miami is being brought into the league for the reasons we understand. They are a sexy team that will play in a sexy city and will add a lot of demo to the potential TV audience. We all know MLS TV numbers are awful, but the potential audience does matter when they're trying to negotiate a TV contract. So it's all part of their strategy. But do I think they're going to be that well supported? Do I think they're going to be successful? Well, I don't think they will, because I just don't. Like, look at every other Miami team. Unless they are winning championships, and they are the flavor of the month. There is so much more to do.
Yeah.
You could be with the sexy people on the beach. Honestly, how many would you rather go? Like, if you're in Miami, if you're in South Beach.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here, folks. We all know our friends in a soccer bubble. Do we seem like South Beach kind of people?
Yeah, that's true. I would love to go, but I got a fair skin. I can't really stay on the beach so long. I can stay in a press box or in a supporters section for a few hours. I'd rather go to soccer.
I'm going to have my ab workouts for like 20 hours a day for 6 months to go to South Beach and fit in. So, yeah.
No, you're right. It's true. But we'll see. Well, what is the attraction with Miami, though? Because in my lifetime, I've seen my former baseball team owner being in Montreal, finding the attraction of Florida and Miami to be very, very strong. We have seen hockey team wanting to go to Miami and Florida. What's with Miami and Florida? Do people think that Miami is like an untapped potential in the world of sports in North America? And it's like the new frontier. And it's like China. You're like, oh, yeah, if we can get into China, we'll make it work. Oh, if we can get into Florida, we'll make it work. Well, guess what? No one's from Florida. They all live there. They retire there. They move there. They get their oxycodone there. They like to do a lot of weird things. The Florida man says blah, blah, blah. So no one cares in Florida. Am I wrong? It's because there is a lot of great soccer fans. I'm just thinking about Kartik and the locals. But is there enough of that fan support to drive not just one professional team, but a few in an academy and to make it prosper and to make it worthwhile? That's
I think
what the
talent
question is
there on the academy side. I think because Miami, like, if you've ever been to Miami, and most of us probably have been, at least in passing, you'll know that it's practically Aladdin City. Like, English is the second language in that city, which is a beautiful, makes it a dynamic city. You know, you go to that airport, it's like you're in Central America, right? Like, every connecting flight in North America goes through Miami to Central America. It really is a Latin hub. It is the gateway for Latin America into the United States, into North America. So it has that vibe. And, of course, as we all know, people are passionate about the sport in that part of the world. So you really would, the way you make this successful, I think that the talent will be there for a great academy. And it will absolutely allow them to be successful that way. The attractiveness of the market in general will allow them to attract big stars. And then the key then will be to tap into that. And this is a broken record in MLS, right? We talked about this with Houston last week. How do you tap into the Latin market?
Well, it's easy. If you're Miami, you tap into the Cuban market. You go after Cuban national team players. Make them the fact, stay here. We'll make it work. That could be a big boost in the potential.
Well, you might want to win, though.
Cuba's not that good. That's true. Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. It's funny how you say that Miami is the gateway to Spanish America or Latin America in the United States of America. But today, it's another gateway's day. It's the gateway to the West, St. Louis. It's your day, MLS for the Lou. And we'll get more details that we'll talk on tomorrow's show, when the press conference and the presentation is done. Today, we'll show you the renderings on tomorrow's show's video as well, if you would like to see them. But on that note, Dwayne, usually Tuesdays are for Europe. Usually on Tuesdays, we talk about European football. So I'm taking my French accent here. And we're going to look at a few results across the pond on the other side of the old continent. And Dwayne, I'm going to stop that right now. So when you look at a Bundesliga, Fonzo Davies, Bayern Munich, 2-2 draw at the start of the season. But for me, the interesting aspect is Davies played in game number one of the Bundesliga season.
It was certainly a disappointing matchup for Bayern, though, who are not firing in all syllables. Cylinders. I don't know why I'd fire in a syllable, but
obviously you're not either firing a lot of syllables, but that's great. That's
exactly.
Fine.
Yeah. it was a strange performance. I heard Berlin's a decent club, kind of mid table, but you know, you would expect Bayern to win at home to start the season. They did dominate in possession in a lot of the metrics, but they just couldn't find the back of the net. And they do seem to lack a creative spark, which makes a lot of people, including some people, you know, over there, that are calling for Davies to get more meaningful time this year, because he does have that, like, unpredictability, that ability to beat people in the dribble that the club seems to be missing right now. You know, they can't have a time machine to get Robin back in his prime doing that little cut in that he did so well, right? Like, coming off the wing.
The famous cutback. The amount of players I've seen try to replicate that without the same success. Yeah, a lot. A lot.
Quickly on Robin, he retired this year, of course. I think that we are criminally underrating that guy's career. He is world-class player in every way. And I don't know if it's probably because he was playing in Germany that we didn't give him the credit that if he'd retired from
It's because he's
Chelsea,
Dutch, too. Because he's Dutch, too. He doesn't get... I think, Robin, you're right. And I think we have to say the same to a smaller extent to Wesley Sneijder, who retired as well this year. Those two, one of the two best Dutch players that we have seen in top European leagues in the last few years. No, I agree. Robin needs a bit more recognition for his great career, and a player that never did anything wrong, right? It's a player that you always heard about for the right reason or wrong reason, but it's always on the pitch reasons, and that's worth a lot nowadays. But just to go back on Bayern Munich before we go to England to talk about the results in the Premier League, there's a new player joining Bayern Munich, and I think that's interesting, and it did got me thinking. Philippe Coutinho is now leaving Barcelona and is now in Munich to be a Munich player, and it's a one-year loan from Barca to Munich, but listening to Coutinho talk yesterday, he was saying, I'm here for a long time. I don't want to go back to Barca, basically. Barca's in the past. I'm here for now and for the long term, and this is a big club, and I'm here to perform well on a big club. Is there any chances or or maybe unfortunate situation where Alphonso Davies will have less playing time because of Philippe Coutinho just joined Bayern Munich?
Slightly different role, but yeah, it's always possible. I mean, look, we've got to remember that Alphonso Davies is still a kid. And we all want him to play every minute of every game, but they are handling him in a certain way. He did actually get a run out in the B2 game as well, for the Bayern 2 game as well this week. So they are trying to manage him, and I do think he will get considerable playing time. And, you know, if there's an injury, especially at the fullback position, I think he will start games. So I'm not worried about Davies' overall playing time this year. I think that bringing in a guy like Coutinho, who's a brilliant piece of business for Liverpool, by the way, that they got a whole ton of money from him that allowed them to strengthen what they needed to, and yeah.
And he never panned out. Like, that's what I think is fascinating, is Liverpool knew that he's going to be great for them, but going to Barca, you're like going from the big fish in the kind of big pond to a fish in the biggest pond in the world. And you're not going to get your little pellets. It's going to be a little harder to eat. It's going to be a little harder to find that ball and be useful and be meaningful on the field. And we have seen Coutinho struggle for 2 years in Barcelona. Now to Bayern Munich. And hopefully it doesn't take any time away from our Canadian wonderkind, Alphonso Davies. Let's go back to England. Let's go to England. Let's cross the channel.
Now can we not talk about VAR?
Okay. VAR is going to be a topic of discussion all year long, but Dwayne, we don't have to talk about it. A lot of people are, so we can leave it to other people. But there is a couple.
The rule is dumb. The call was right. There
yes,
is my
exactly.
Distinct answer.
Yes,
and it's a great irony. Of course, had the current rule been in place last year in the Champions League semifinal, then Spurs does not get their winning goal. Had the rule that was in place last year been in place this year, City gets a winning goal. So it's just a lot of bad luck there. I mean, Spurs is a good team. I'm not worried too much from a City perspective that they're dropping points there. Obviously, Liverpool got the win, so you know you can say advantage Liverpool after 2 weeks. But
that's still early.
You know,
there's
I don't think either team is going perfect. So no. Yeah,
there's a lot of teams that actually had a weird result to start the season. A game that was interesting to watch was one of the last games yesterday. Sunday, Man United versus Wolves, 1-1. Chelsea-Leicester, Chelsea getting the early goal. Leicester getting the late equalizer, 1-1. Man City-Tottenham, 2-2. A few draws to make things interesting already after 2 weeks of play in the Premier League. You mentioned Jesus taking over for Kun Aguero. But Kun Aguero, Sergio was not happy. Sergio was not happy at all, berating Pep. I don't read lips, but he wasn't happy. And there was more than a conversation. It was an argument, a stern conversation between the gaffer and his striker. And at the end of the day, they made up and they hugged and everything I guess is fine. But when you're Pep Guardiola or Kun Aguero, and you know there's cameras on you all the time, at what point do you still go for the argument and create that scene? Or at what point are you trying to wait and do this behind closed doors? It just seemed a bit of dirty laundry in public for me for like 2 minutes.
I don't know. Like, I mean, Kun Aguero has been... He and Pep don't have the smoothest of relationships, I don't think. And that's been pretty consistent since Pep got there. In fact, there was a lot of suggestion in the early days that he would move on from Aguero, because Aguero doesn't really play the game the way Pep likes it, but it's so hard to ignore what Kun Aguero does very well, which is score.
Score goals.
So, yeah. So Pep eventually got over himself, but I don't think that they see eye to eye all the time. And it's such a talented team that he's a guy that's used to just playing all the time. And he's getting older now, and I think they do have to manage him a little bit more to get him through seasons fully healthy. I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30 now. So you want to make sure that you have him in the most important matchups. Obviously, a competitive guy is going to complain. I tend not to get too caught up in the what do these arguments on the sidelines mean unless they're happening constantly. Because I think that, because there are 6,000 cameras on these games, that you catch everything that maybe 20 years ago you didn't. and a lot of this stuff just didn't get heard of in the past. So I don't necessarily, like, if it's a habit, like, if, you know, for 3 weeks in a row he keeps getting subbed out and, you know, Kuhn decks him on the sideline or something, yeah, sure, it's an issue. But one argument, we'll see. We'll monitor it. We'll see if it's an outlier, or we'll see if there's a trend there. But
we'll see if Jesus starts the next game. If he does, you can tell right away that it's a correlation. It's a reaction to that, I would say, that spat that Aguero and Pep had. But, you know, speaking of Jesus and that goal and then the callback and the VAR, I think it was fascinating, too, to see if there's going to be repercussion. Because technically, you're not supposed to react like Jesus did, like Gabriel Jesus did, and going to the referee, be like, what are you doing? What is that VAR shit? Which were literally word for word what Gabriel Jesus said. So it'll be interesting to see if down the road we start to see, I guess, supplementary discipline for crowding the referee, yelling at the referee because of VAR or making the sign. All those things are straight yellow card in Major League Soccer if that happens. So maybe in the Premier League before the end of the season, or just in a few weeks when people are used to the VAR aspect and yell at the referees still, the referees will start to get action. That could be fascinating. But before we say goodbye for today, you want to talk about Barcelona? Barcelona started their Liga quest for this season on Friday, playing Athletic Bilbao in Bilbao, and late in the game, Ardaiz scored a bicycle kick to...
What a goal.
What a goal. And what a reaction of his team when he came in, 38 years old, 39, an old man in soccer terms, scored a bicycle kick against Barcelona for the win, walked into his dresser room to a standing ovation. It was a beautiful moment of soccer, of television, and it was fun to watch, but Barcelona, for a rare time, lost their opener this year in La Liga.
First time in 10 years.
Well, there you go.
So,
The last time it happened, they did win the Liga, though, but still.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're, you know, the talent is such that they are. But the reason I wanted to talk about this game beyond, you know, it wasn't actually that great of a game. It was a pretty, you know, Athletic was trying to do what they had to do to bog Barcelona down and to keep them from the scoring zones, and they were doing it very effectively. But, you know, you can appreciate a defensive game and also understand that it can be a little dull. And then it opened up with this goal, obviously, which came out of nowhere. I thought Ray Hudson was going to have a coronary on the broadcast, but nonetheless, that's he lived, apparently, so because he texted me back, actually. I commented about that, and then he mentioned
like, I'm
me.
Okay. He's like, I'm okay, sir. Don't worry about you. Worry about me.
Yeah, at any rate, so it was a great, great goal. But what I found remarkable about this game, and I watched quite a bit of it live, was how Barcelona was not able to break down this. It wasn't a low block. It was sort of a quasi-low block that Athletic was playing. They were getting out in the front. They weren't playing complete park the bus. They weren't like Mourinho's Chelsea. They, you know, were playing a little bit of football out there. But nonetheless, they just couldn't break it down. They weren't creating anything. And then you see them making moves away from these players that they were bringing in on big numbers, and it makes me think that Barcelona, I wouldn't say lost their way, but that's kind of what I'm saying.
When's the last prospect you heard about from La Masia coming into Barcelona's first team with a big hype? The last one was the one who's not playing for the Montreal Impact. Boyan was one of the last one who was touted from La Masia. Now it's big transfer people you're talking about for Barcelona, and one of those players get injured, like Luis Suarez, who's going to miss the next 3 weeks, you're not as good.
Yeah, and they're getting older, and I mean, Messi's getting older, and Suarez is getting older, and Christ, Suarez seems like he's a vampire. How literally, the biting, well, that wasn't intentional, that pun.
The two canines look really like a vampire.
Yeah, exactly. But meaning he seems ageless to me is what I'm saying. But nonetheless, there was something missing with them, and it was hard to really pin them. And it might be as simple as Lionel Messi isn't 24 anymore, and he can't single-handedly win games in the same way that he once did. And it's kind of sad to have to say that, but it is the reality. You know, Father Time is undefeated, right? I'm not saying that Messi's by any means close to done. He's still going to score goals, still going to score wonderful goals this year, but I don't know if he's quite, like, I don't know, FIFA rankings. What is he in FIFA, like a 96 or something?
Oh, yeah. I think he's like 94, but he should be like a 94. But eventually, you just need to surround him better. You just need to find someone to make some support runs for him that he doesn't have to do those runs, right? Remember all those famous Messi goals that we've seen over the last 10 years? Where he runs through the midfield, through the defense, and dribbles around three defenders and creates a space for himself and then creates a shooting opportunity and then he shoots and he scored in a very difficult, technically, to execute shot. Now it's difficult because when you do all the creation of the goal plus the execution and the finishing of the goal, it takes a lot out of you. And now you need support to have someone help him, put him in a situation where he just has to create or just has to finish or just has to find the open area on the pitch to distribute. But I think that's what he needs now. He needs to be surrounded with not like-minded players, but with a supporting cast. Or he's part of the supporting cast for another main player.
Yeah, exactly. They just lack the bite, and it probably has to do with the fact that since he's not 24 anymore, he does need that support. He can't beat these players, like seven players on the dribble anymore, and maybe he could once in a while, but you shouldn't expect that. You can't rely on that. I'm not suggesting that Barcelona is going to be like in the relegation zone or something stupid here. They're obviously going to contend for the title and are the heavy favorite to win the title. But like Real Madrid, they don't seem to be firing quite the same way they were in the past. And that opens the door up for Atleti. I think in a very short window, with the moves they made in the offseason, that you might be able to see them do something. They would have to have a near-perfect season to win the title, but certainly La Liga looks more than ever like a three-team race this year than a two-team race, and I think that that's good for the sport. We'll see how this plays out over the course of the year, but yeah, I just found it a little... Like, I'm not a Barca hater. I'm not a Barca lover. I'm one of those rare people that's kind of indifferent on Barcelona. I will watch them, and I will, and especially when Messi was firing on all cylinders, I kind of enjoyed watching that team win occasionally. But so, you know, when I'm watching this, I was a little sad, though, on Friday, because it just didn't seem like this, you know, seems like we'd lost something. Have that wonder team out there. And maybe that's Liverpool and City now. Maybe, right? But it does seem like an era is changing, and there's something different in La Liga and something different with Barcelona and Real Madrid this year.
Even Madrid, though. It's like both of them lost their cloak of invincibility or something. But I think that's what happens when big names leave or big names are not replaced or maybe other places in the world becoming a hotspot. Who knows? It's good conversation, too. And I think it's important. And we'll use this season in La Liga. And, you know, we say this after week one. We can go back 37 weeks from now, Dwayne, and be like, yeah, Barcelona won by 20 points in front of Madrid, and it is what it is. That's a very high probability, too.
Yeah. After they win off their next 30-whatever games, yeah. No, look, Athletic had a great game defensively and deserved the win. They're a fun team at times, too. Like, the mid-table of La Liga is no joke. I think that because we're not as exposed to them in North America that we tend to look at a team like Athletic Bilbao and kind of dismiss them a little bit more than we should. These are very good teams that, you know, to use the English comparison, they're at least as good as the Wolves, right? And no one, if Wolves goes in and gets a 1-1 draw against Manchester United, no one's going, ooh, they're saying, yeah, Wolves is decent and they, you know, United's kind of slip in and here we are. So it's similar to that. But, you know, La Liga is a little tougher to find this year. We don't have the games on demand. They're on BN. You can watch them. So if you don't know that, that's where you find them. You have to go on into your app on DAZN and press the DAZN live feed to find the La Liga games.
Yeah,
that's a bit unfortunate. I used to like watching them during my work hours on replay last year. But hopefully they get that fixed. But anyway,
hopefully they get that fixed. We'll see. And it is another fun league to keep an eye on, and it never stops. It just started, and we're good to go for the next forever. It's never going to stop. Soccer just never stops. And And that's how it goes. On that note, we'll keep an eye on the press conference of Don Garber with the Kavanaugh and Taylor family in St. Louis today. And we'll bring you the details on tomorrow's show, as well as a conversation and more of the world of football with a soccer perspective. If you like what we do, you like to hear Dwayne and I talking about Canadian soccer and Canadian soccer only, go to patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. For $2 a month, you'll get access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, where Dwayne and I go deep into Canadian soccer. It's going to be recorded tomorrow, so this week it's going to be online tomorrow, the show. We're having a great guest to talk about U Sports, to talk about the Canadian Premier League tomorrow. So join us at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork for more of your favorite coverage in Canadian soccer. You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN Live, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. On Twitter, at Soccer Today SPN, and podcasts and video available anywhere, everywhere you get your podcasts and your videos. But as always, until tomorrow, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.